the sky.
The sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to the Fired Up with CJ show. We have Dr. Lloyd Setterer, medical director of the nation's largest state mental health system and the author of The Family Guide to Mental Health Care. I'm Eric B. from CBS Sky Radio, and if you have any questions for Dr. Setterer, you can call our hotline at 545-SOUL. That's 545-7685. Now back to CJ.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to the Fired Up with CJ show. I'm CJ Liu, and in this segment, we're going to talk about the importance of making sure you don't go it alone. And in the book, several times, Dr. Lloyd Setterer, in his book, The Family Guide to Mental Health Care, has talked about don't go it alone. And what did you mean by that, Dr. Setterer, when you had that in your book? Because you have it several times. I interpret it as get the help that you need. If you have a mental illness, get the help that you need. If you're a family member, get support as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and it's as basic as often are wanting to, because of shame or lack of knowledge about where to turn, keeping this all to ourselves as a family, not turning to. And there are many places. There's so many people with mental illness that there's so many people affected that if you just look around a room of 5 or 10 people, they're going to be people that are there who have either lived with mental illness or know other people. So I like to ask a family, you know, or friend, is there someone you know who has had a depression or an addiction or traumatic disorder, a mental problem, because that's a person and whom you can feel you can confide in, you know, who's not going to blab all about you. Families can also turn to their primary care doctor or to their clergy person, whether it's a minister, a priest, a rabbi, an imam, because these people, family doctors and clergy, they're every day encountering families who have similar difficulties. They're also, and I just want to put one more word in, because there's an organization which I think is absolutely terrific, and I all recommend it almost all the time. It's called the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there are chapters in every state, and it's an organization of hundreds of thousands of family members, people who can provide information, referrals, understand and help you understand what's going on, and their services are free. So that's another place. So there are many places people can turn so they don't have to hold it all to themselves. They don't have to feel they're all alone, and they can get some direction.
Well, I was surprised because I think in your book you said, what, one in every four? What's the statistics on how many people have mental illness?
Yes, over, in the course of a year, one in five or people or more are going to have a mental illness that's going to affect their functioning. And these are, these are depressions, bipolar, eating disorders, PTSD, and many childhood disorders, ADHD, autistic spectrum disorders. So these are very common conditions, which means that you're not alone. You know, if you may think you're the only one who's got this in your family, that's not the case.
Now, one question that I had is I was thinking, all right, I'm going to talk to a friend or a clergy member or my primary physician, but what's the confidentiality involved? Because like you said, I don't want my friend to be blabbing to another person.
Think about who you turn to, but if you turn to a clergy person or the professional person, it's their obligation to protect your privacy.
Okay, so they're required by law or something to not.
Yes, by their own ethics and by their professional their professional training, that what gets said, there's even what's called the doctor-patient confidentiality. You can bring a doctor to court, and a doctor can say, "Well, I can't talk about it because it's a doctor-patient relationship."
Yeah, I mean, what are the typical questions that people ask you? I'm sure they come to you as someone to get help. I mean, when they're scared or frightened because they're shameful, I mean, what are some things that they should be asking their friends or clergy member? What do they ask you, and what would you say to them?
Well, often you want to get some help about where to turn. You know, is there a person, a social worker, psychologist, a psychiatrist in the area that they know and trust? Is there a clinic, a mental health clinic, or is there a hospital that has mental health services? Where are places that you can go to have an evaluation of what's going on that you can talk your loved one into going? Because everything starts, just like with any medical problem, with a good diagnosis. So you need to know where professional services are available and how to access them. You'll also need to find that information about your insurance, because you many times there some your insurance will say, well, you can go here and not there, and you don't want to build debt. You want to be able to get services that are covered by your insurance as well.
Mm-hmm. So then, you know, one of the things that I found very interesting in your book, The Family Guide to Mental Health Care, there's a chapter that, you know, even when you go to a psychiatrist, they really don't know anymore. I mean, they know what symptoms to look at, but they don't really know the amount, the levels of meds to give you or what specific meds to give you until they give it to you. And you know what your reaction is to it. That was kind of shocking and surprising. So that you have to be a really strong advocate for your own health care and making sure that you're getting the proper drugs for your symptoms.
It's true throughout healthcare. How many stories have we all begun to hear about somebody going to a hospital and, you know, waiting in an emergency room and being ignored, or being admitted to a hospital and, you know, the aide that comes in is looking for another person. Healthcare, unfortunately, it's complicated and it's human, so there can be many errors, or there may be people who really do a great job, and there may be some people who don't do such a good job, and you need to be able to be a strong advocate. You need to understand what good care looks like, and advocate for getting it. And in the book, I don't expect people to go to medical school or psychology school and become experts, but rather I talk about certain basic principles that any of us can understand about good care. It's comprehensive. It's not just dependent on one thing like pills or therapy. It's more multiple things that are being employed, that it's continuous, you know, means that it's ongoing. If you stop and start any kind of treatment, it's not apt to work. There are a few basic, that the treatment is safe, it's reasonable to ask what are the treatments that are available, what are the side effects of these treatments, what happens if I don't get treatment. These are all reasonable things that are part of becoming a good, strong advocate, and we have to do that in healthcare, not just mental health care.
Yeah, I think actually one of the favorite lists that you have in the Family Guide to Mental Health Care, your book, was the list of questions that you should ask. And I have a relative that was diagnosed with diabetes, and they're trying to put her on medications. And I said, I'm going to send you this list, because as you said before, whether it's health, you know, generalized health care or mental health care, you know, there are a bunch of questions that we don't even ask because we feel like we're not empowered because of the doctor knows best. And I really highly encourage folks to get Lloyd Sederer's book. It's Sederer. And tell us a little bit about your Ask Dr. Lloyd website and how people can get to that.
Yes, I encourage people to go to my website. It's askdrlloyd.com, askdrlloyd.com, and on there I've got a lot of things that I've written. There's no charge to go to a website. There are questions and answers that I've provided, and other kinds of things that I've written that may be interesting or entertaining to people. I do book reviews and movie reviews from the perspective of a psychiatrist. So my website's got a lot of material on it, and I encourage people to go to it. It's AskDrLloyd.com.
Great. And so, folks, I highly encourage, if you feel like you have mental illness yourself, or that you have a family member with mental illness, this is really the definitive guide. I found it interesting, and I have neither. It's that interesting of a book, and I think generalized about healthcare in general. Good questions, lots of really good information, helpful tools. So thank you so much for writing this book, and thanks so much for you do so much. I was going through all your website and stuff. You do so much for helping people, and you have a genuine interest for people, and I greatly appreciate that.
Well, thanks so much to you and to Eric for having me on. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much. And for folks, thank you for listening and increasing your awareness on such an important topic for us. 20% of the people suffer from mental illness, and so hopefully you can increase your awareness. Next week on Fired Up with CJ, we talk to Stan Cox, who won the Atlantic Magazine's Great Thinker Award for his book, Losing Our Cool, and we're going to be offering some hopeful and simple solutions to climate change. Have a great week, everyone.